What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
I'm too fat for video.
And I second that statement, actually. We'll see. Apparently, we took photos of us in the new studio, and who looked at my face and instantly said, Rose, Rose from the new Star Wars.
And then I was like, no, you're not going to like the comparison. That's completely wrong. You're prettier than that girl. And then we looked her up, and then I was like, oh, my God, it's exactly you. Were you in Star Wars?
Yeah. No. I mean, I wish. Yeah. I wouldn't be here if I was. But
you would drop the DL Gaming podcast for Star Wars.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
It's a flash in the pan. That thing's not going to be around there.
But, yeah, come video next week, perhaps, you'll see that I got a new haircut, and it's very Rose-esque if you've seen the new Star Wars.
Or Rose is very Chi-esque.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I like the way that sounds. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully video next week. We posted some screenshots of what it looks like in the Discord, so check that out in the Hangout. And it's looking pretty good. I think we're almost there. We just need a little bit more equipment, a computer. We're borrowing Emilio's girlfriend's right now, and it's doing all right.
It's running at maximum speed to do audio recording.
It's not recording audio, but
well, let's just hope nothing just fries in the middle of all of this and we have to re-record.
Yeah. No.
Well, not much is going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pictures also will be up on Instagram. If you have yet to follow our Instagram, check out digital_logic with a K. We'll be posting on the weekly basis photos, videos, all the like and notices for when we go live and et cetera.
So the questions that we got from the pictures was, one, is that a storage unit? No, it's not a storage unit. It's a partition garage. My house is a 3-car garage, and one of the rooms was one of the sections for the third car was turned into a room, and so that's why you see the red door in the back. We don't know if we need soundproofing. I guess we'll know soon. This is kind of just a rough run. I like the temperature in here. Chi doesn't like it.
No, freezing.
She brought a heater. I'm super happy with the temperature right now. What was the other one? Oh, is it a meth lab? I mean, maybe once. While I was clearing this place out, I found a book called Everything a Cocaine Connoisseur Needs to Know, and it was from like 1970.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
it was a nice, cool little book to find.
Well, who needs bug when you have the internet?
This is true. Well, this is 1970.
I wonder if there's videos on YouTube about being a cocaine connoisseur.
I know. It sounds so... Cocaine connoisseur sounds nicer than it is, right?
It's a fancy way of putting it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we need better lighting, I think, is our biggest issue right now. Maybe a better camera as well, but I don't know. Once the lighting improves, I think that will as well.
He's saying that he needs his comparisons to be less dark. Is what he's saying. It's a real racist comment. What's going on? He's like, I show up great.
Yeah, but next week, hopefully you can join in on the fun live on Twitch. Shout out to all our regulars. We will need mods, by the way. So we'll start looking for that because who knows, you know, we'll get some weirdos in here. And while we're recording the show, we can't handle that.
Yep. I feel like half of our listeners are the weirdos. And can we really protect ourselves from them?
Yeah, it's true.
We'll see. You're right. We'll see.
If this is your first episode, by chance, by happenstance, the crew is we have Bobby, who looks like a Ken doll. Chi, that looks like Rose from
Are we
Star
going
Wars.
With that? And is this the new thing? Because I'm pretty sure my parents can...
And if you needed
stretch
a gardener,
a little further than that.
You called, you pick somebody up at Home Depot, that's what I look like.
Oh my goodness. So. I will take it. I'll take Rose, whatever. I think she's cute.
She's cute.
She's cute.
I don't know about a Ken doll. That implies I'm smooth in the front. took a second for you guys to catch on to that one. But let's talk about some video games. That's what we're here for. So on the radar, things that are coming up. I just found out today that there's going to be a sequel to Mount Your Friends coming soon, and it's in 3D.
This is exciting. We were talking about this yesterday when you were referencing something with Bennett Foddy. Bennett like Foggy, holding, something.
What was that? Holding on.
Getting over.
Getting it
Mr.
over.
Yeah, getting Mr. Over. Cauldron Body. And we said it was similar to Mount Your Friends. And lo and behold, speak of the Here devil. We have a brand new 3D
it's
Mount
only
Your
exists
Friends.
Because you mentioned it. But when it says 3D, is it 3D modeling? Or is it 2.5D? Or the puzzles
yeah, I,
now 3D?
I don't know if it's
3D.
VR.
Not VR. But I mean, are there 8 accesses of freedom here, or are we just talking about 2D still? We don't know.
I don't. The trailer doesn't give much away.
No, except for outrageous nipple action.
They look like fucking pacifiers.
Oh yeah, that's a good way.
Dicks aren't as obnoxious in this one, actually. They toned them back now that they're in 3D.
I don't know.
They couldn't get them.
They really are. The dicks kind of drown out within all of the muscles, but the nipples are so much larger now too.
This is true.
So it's all distracting from the
additional
dick size.
Nip makes up for the missing dick, I think.
Yeah.
Is what we're
trying to say. They're not telling us too much. I don't know if it's going to be VR. I don't know if there's going to be a Z axis, but
they don't even have elbows.
Well, they're buried in the muscles.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that was a good time. Everybody loves Mount Your Friends.
It's hilarious, at least for one full day.
Yeah.
Kind of like, what is the other one? Jesus, the one where you're just dicks and buttholes? What is that called?
I don't know. You play that with Chad a lot.
God damn it. What is that called? All right, whatever. Man, we don't have our Discord to help us out today.
All right, next up is a game that also came to my attention. Now, this game was
Oh, my God, dinosaurs.
Revealed.
Let me make a drink.
This game was revealed not too long. Well, maybe a year ago. I don't know. I remember hearing about this a long time ago. Prehistoric Kingdom. It's a dinosaur sim park game.
Yeah, you brought it up like 2 weeks ago, dude.
No, definitely didn't. No.
Outside of dinosaurs,
we were talking
tycoon.
About like how it's like Planet Coaster and it had to do with dinosaurs.
Yeah, maybe we mentioned it in passing, but we didn't talk about it at length because this was announced like I feel like a long time ago. Maybe not a year ago, but
we totally covered this.
Well, I brought this up because I was curious to know if Bobby had played a game like this, but this one seems a lot more expansive than what I was trying to reference. This seems like a very current generation version of what Dinosaur Tycoon would
Genesis
be,
game.
If not more Sims-esque.
No, it was called Jurassic Park Genesis, I think. I didn't play it, but when this was revealed, a lot of people were comparing it to that, where it was like, you know, kind of like a SimCity meets Jurassic Park.
This is pretty, I mean, it looks a lot like Jurassic World, where you're just managing a functioning.
So is this available early access on Steam?
Well, it just entered pre-alpha, so I don't know how you get access to that. Do you have to have been part of the Kickstarter? It's currently on Kickstarter. Yeah, there's probably a way to get that. I'll have to look into it. I don't know if I'm going to go out of my way to play this in pre-alpha. I hate playing games in that state because then you just get over it by the time it's before it's a finished product.
I would say so, especially if it's a Sims game, because The Sims, you could play it relentlessly for hours on end, but once you get whatever fantasies fulfilled that you were aiming to do, I would say it just goes back up on the shelf.
Well, you spend a lot of time in a Sim game. I had this problem with Prison Architect. I played it in beta or alpha at an early stage, and I played it a lot, and then I got over it really quickly, and then when it was finally released in a completed project, I had no interest in revisiting it.
Even though they flipped it, and you can be the inmate trying to escape, I think that like sounds so much more fun for me. You know, I don't like Sims, but even that much wasn't enough to bring you back, huh?
Well, it's tough with the Sim, because when you go back to it, like, you want to pick up where you left off. You don't want to repeat the stuff that you already did. But there's so much to forget in a Sim game. Like, so much. Like, they have a heavy tutorial process in these Sim games because there's a lot you need to know. And so I've gone back to a lot of them. Even Tropico 4, I went back to and was like, wait, what does this do? How do I tweak the economy? Like, there's just so much to forget.
Yeah. Right. Did you guys see the preview to Jurassic World 2?
I did, yeah.
I
thought
have
the
not
preview
been.
Looked like dog shit. Like, I don't know. I was way more excited for Jurassic World than this. I was like, isn't this exactly what they did for Jurassic Park 2 when they brought the dinosaurs to San Diego?
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems a lot
the
like
The trailers, I mean, we all saw Star Wars, right? So we
so
saw the same
Star
trailers.
Wars later, I think. I want to have a spoiler segment.
But all the trailers leading up to Star Wars seemed really weird to me. Like, just odd for trailers.
I, on purpose, didn't watch any past the first one. I saw the first one, and then I just let them all go.
Hmm. So you saw the Jurassic World or whatever the new one's called?
No, I'm talking about Star Wars. I saw the first trailer, and I just didn't see any, because there was like four or five trailers, mm-hmm. You know?
Are you talking about the movie, or are you referencing
Star Wars The Last Jedi?
So this Jurassic World thing you're talking about, it's not a video game trailer. It's a movie trailer you're referencing?
Yeah.
Oh, my mistake. Yeah. I thought you were talking about a video game.
We're jumping back and forth.
Okay.
Keep up, Chi.
It's hard to keep up with dinosaur games.
I know. They run so fast.
Like, the only thing that excites me about a dinosaur game coming out is like, ooh, that's a present for my nephew. You know, it's not exactly something that I want to play for myself.
Does every kid go through dinosaur phase?
Every little boy, perhaps.
Every single one almost.
Did you not?
I did. And all my nephews went through it.
Oh, yeah. Might still be
there. Well, Bobby's still in.
Bobby's never grown out of that. But you don't need to. You don't need to grow out of that.
I mean, they're like mythical creatures, but they actually existed. So, I don't know. There's something.
No, Jesus did.
Oh, gosh. Jesus says you're wrong.
Okay.
No.
All right. So, Okami HD.
Yeah, this is another existed long ages ago and is coming back, resurfacing. The Okami HD is remade for the PC, and it's available on Steam, just released December 12th. With this one here, if you've never played Okami, it was originally released on PS2, and I never really got to play the game fully through, but for me, it was kind of like the Legend of Zelda of the PlayStation generation for PS2. It's an action-adventure game where you play as a wolf, and it's in this Tsumi-e Inc.'s art style. Am I pronouncing that right? And it's amazing graphics, amazing gameplay, and amazing storytelling, too. So if you want to re-experience an RPG that is transitioning through the ages, obviously since they're porting it over at this point now, almost nearly over a decade later, I would recommend checking this out on Steam. How much is it going for, especially for a PS2 title? $19.99. That's probably how much it was sold at as a greatest hit.
No. Oh, a greatest hits, yeah.
Yeah, as greatest hits.
This is one I always wanted to play. It got away from me when I was in the PlayStation mode. You call it, what would you call the art style?
It says on the Steam page, Tsumi-e.
Tsumi-e. And what I call is the super thick black lines. Like, Street Fighter 4 really picked that up, and it's just a really cool look. And that's what you're really buying here. You're buying the art style.
It's really neat because in the game, you do certain moves and actions by drawing out certain moves, and that's how the art style really comes to life when you play the game.
And then a little fun fact, in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, I believe, 3, yes, 3, Okami was one of the characters, and you can play as the wolf.
Yeah?
Yep.
So it is a game developed by Capcom, re-released on PC.
I might pick this up if it goes on sale, or if one of you nice people buy it for me. What's cool about buying it for me is, like, you spend the $20, right?
You actually get a review. You play all the games.
And then you hear the review, and then you know if you should spend $20 on it. Right, Bobby? And that way, it's like secure. It's almost like insurance. All right, let's keep going.
Well, generally,
I'm not asking for games.
Okay, here's the thing. Generally, when people give things to others, they would want something in return. Isn't that the way it goes?
Sure.
So buying you games is like buying you flowers. What are you going to give them in return?
You get a review in return.
You get a review.
You get our expert opinion.
You get my super sick. Oh, by the way, we're all sick. Bobby's recovering. I'm recovering. But he's the first recovered. I don't know. And Chi, were you sick?
I'm not sick. I'm just
you were
dying slowly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I was really fucking sick the last couple of days. We had a Christmas party, and I woke up super sick. The day of the Christmas party, Mr. F. Sweet came over. Admiral Beef came over.
Everyone but like, Smoochie came over.
She forgot.
Guys. I totally forgot.
Which is cool. It happened to us like 3 weeks before.
I didn't forget because I was too busy sitting on my couch and playing video games or anything like that. Since coming back from vacation, I've only had one day off of work. So I've been working relentlessly, not necessarily gaming as much as I want to or going to Christmas parties as much as I want to. So I apologize so much. I actually regret wholeheartedly not being able to come
to your
party.
She apologized to me. I was like, no, I apologize to you. You missed out on us. Yeah. Crazy good party. We had such a good time.
Well, Bobby, did you go?
No, I didn't make it. But I didn't think I was going to be able to. I had such a crazy weekend.
Anyways, we had a good time. Anyway, I woke up the sickest of my 3 days of being sick, which I'm never sick. It was the day of the party. And I was like, okay, I could either be a bitch and let Sam handle everything or fucking start drinking and not feel the sickness and just go the whole time. And that's what I decided to do. And
you didn't mix medication with alcohol, did you?
No, I don't take medication.
Oh, okay. Very holistic approach. More whiskey.
Look, the thing about medication.
Was it at least a hottie toddy?
A hottie. Oh, my God.
It was just whiskey and beer and shots.
Years and years ago, I was working with a guy who told me about the hottie toddy. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, that'll clear
Nature's
you right up.
Cure.
That'll be, you know, help you feel great. So, okay, I'll try it out. I was underage at the time, so he bought me some liquor. And then I made one of those, and I was living at home with my parents. And I was just like, and my mom's like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry, Mom. This is medicinal. The guy at work told me about it. I got fucking hammered. And I'm like, oh, this guy was right. I feel great. And then I woke up the next day, and I was like, no.
Probably completely dehydrated, feeling worse than ever. Yeah.
But the thing about medication, I'm no fucking doctor here, but to my understanding, like all that stuff just makes you feel better. It doesn't actually make you better.
Correct. It cures the symptoms, but the symptoms are what are making you better. You sneeze to get the shit out of you. You cough to get the phlegm out, which is literally the stuff that's bad. You have a fever to burn out the stuff that's bad. All that stuff. It's all there for a reason. And you're just stopping those things. So,
yeah.
And by the way, I never get sick and I never get a flu suck. Sick, a flu shot. But I got a flu shot this year and I ended up getting sick.
Yeah. Don't trust Big Pharma. I think that's what we're trying to say here.
Yeah.
All right. Video games. Finding Paradise. So this is from the developers of To the Moon. Or this is a sequel to the Moon.
That's what she's saying. I don't see anything around here that says anything about To the Moon.
It is. If you scroll down a little bit, it's actually claims itself to be the second full episode to the Moon series.
Dr. Roseman and Dr. Watch. Yep.
Well, and if you don't know anything about these games, what it is, it's an amazing, you know, take on classic RPGs, but with a very intricate, almost, if you've ever watched Black Mirror, have you ever seen the episode San Junipero? I think that's what it's called. Yep. So basically these two doctors...
I mean, don't give too much away, right?
Well, no, I mean, I'm not going to spoil the ending, especially not to that TV episode. But the game, it's two doctors who can go into a person's memories and recreate them, actually wipe them and recreate them. So as their death wish, allow them to basically fulfill whatever dying wish that they have. So you actually go into these memories as that person and relive their lives out, I believe, and accomplish what they could not accomplish in their life.
They can die fulfilled because you help them. Even though it's not real.
So they're kind of incepting.
Incepting, yeah.
Yes.
And I cried like a little bitch with To the Moon. I cried and cried and cried. And when I'm seeing Finding Paradise, I'm not saying it's worse or anything. I don't know if I want to go back to that. Good is good, but emotional sometimes isn't where I want to be. Maybe right now I don't want to cry because I'm fucking sick. But maybe later on. When it's $2.99, I'll pick it up.
Well, the first game, To the Moon, is $3.99. So if you have any interest in trying out this game and seeing for yourself whether or not you're a little crybaby pussy like Emilio.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I cry over everything. I've cried over commercials even before. I'm so sensitive.
But what about video games?
Video games all the time. I cry over everything.
Like what? What's the last one?
Most recent one?
Tacoma?
I haven't played Tacoma. That thing keeps on going on sale on my wish list, and it's making me want to buy it.
Soma, the first one?
Soma, I did cry during Soma.
Yeah.
I did. And sometimes, like, being completely, like, induced and drunk by wine when I play video games, I cry.
Yeah.
Not even related to the game, but I'm just crying and playing the game. That used to happen all the time in my stream.
It's not, what gets me is not sadness. Like, if something sad happens, I will never cry. When I cry is when I feel proud for the characters. That's when it fucking tears me up. That's why it fucking, back in the day, American Idol used to get to me when, like, somebody really performed. I'd be like,
oh my goodness. So you'd be one of the, like, crying dads at a soccer game kind of thing.
Yeah, oh yeah. Jeez, I didn't even think about that. Good thing I don't have kids.
I don't know. It looks good. It's going for $8.99. It's on sale. Regularly $9.99. Probably will eventually. Still at that price, it's probably a good deal.
Yeah.
Considering, and
Bobby, any interest in To the Moon?
Yeah, I got to play that game eventually.
It's a lot of reading. I think it's 3 hours long.
Maybe we should see if Bobby cries. Bobby, have you ever cried during a video game?
Cry.
On the spot, listener question. Can you recall any video game that has ever made you weep?
No.
Really?
I've asked him the last time he cried, like, a couple times, and he goes, 1995. Like, he knows exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's not 1995, but it's like 2005.
Now that I think about it, he doesn't have any
Lion
Kleenex.
King, Bobby? Is that what it was?
He doesn't have any Kleenex around his house.
1993, Lion King.
Yeah.
We've been over this bit.
Oh, yeah, we have. That's right.
It's not a bit, though. Is it real?
It might be.
There must have been some girlfriends after The Lion King, dude.
I might have cried tears of joy when I broke up with them.
Wow.
But
no. Robots.
Cold-blooded.
Coming for that ass.
No, I do want to play To the Moon. I that's one of the games that I eventually got to get to. But, you know, like Emilio said, it can be difficult, like, playing a game like that just because you know it's going to be so emotionally involved. It's like, what was that movie I watched that I was like, that was a fantastic movie. I'm never watching it again. Oh man, it was rough. Jennifer Connelly in that sex scene at the end. You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Yeah, she still got it too. She's in that new movie. You guys know what I'm talking about. No. The drugs. Everyone fucks up their life from drugs.
Blow?
No. Really weird director, late 90s. Chat, help me out here. Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, chat, no.
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
In case we'll you guys are wondering what we're talking about, if this is your first episode, we always live stream our episodes, audio only, but now it's going to be video starting next week, hopefully. And the Discord chat goes along with us as we do the episode. And the best part is, even if you don't want to get involved, you can click on our link from our website and read the chat as it was live and laugh when we laugh when somebody puts a big dick pic on there.
Yep. I figure out what the hell we're talking about.
I don't think anybody else is doing it. I mean, they might be. I'm not listening to all
200,000
episodes.
Beyond Discord chat, don't you think that once we start streaming on Twitch, it's going to transfer over to Twitch chat?
We haven't figured out what we're going to do with that yet, but we've got a great community built up in Discord, and the live shows happen there, and I'd like to continue that, but with Twitch coming in, I mean, the video is obviously something people have requested, so we'll find a way.
All right.
Life, we'll find a way.
We can always overlay the Discord chat onto Twitch, so.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. The movie I was thinking of is Requiem for a Dream. Darren Aronofsky.
I've heard about that, but I've never seen it myself.
Yeah, watch it once.
I hear it's really sad.
By the way, The Greatest Showman, I saw the trailer for that. That looks really good. I don't even like musicals. Okay. nail in the coffin on that one, guys. Talking about really emotional games that you might not want to play if you're not in the right mood in, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. I finished it. Last week, I had really honestly only played about 15 minutes when I talked about it, and
you talked about it like you had hours into this game.
It had already.
So you were only talking about the introduction, the tutorial section of the game.
It's that impressive.
You were that captivated by the first couple of minutes. That's interesting.
And those few first minutes carried on for the next 5 or 6 hours, however long it takes.
Okay, so how long did it take you?
I'm not sure. About 5 or 6 hours, I guess. I don't know. I have this really bad habit of leaving games on as I go away. I don't know why that is. Because I think I get distracted with something. I think I'm going to come back, and I don't.
It could be one of three things. The girlfriend, the puppy,
yeah,
or the little girl.
Or the house.
Or the house just being set on fire. It's like, hey, Emilio, douse me. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's ridiculous. I talked about it last week. Maybe the best graphics I've ever seen on my computer. Gorgeous. You're playing a girl with psychosis. We already covered all this, but now that I've finished it, at no point did it get stale. At no point did it get boring. It was the right length of time. Sometimes I do, like, people say, are video games art? I don't think all video games are art, but this definitely is. When you beat the game, you unlock a featurette that's 15 minutes long. It's kind of like a documentary on making it. And it really, like, sheds a lot of light. They brought in, okay, apparently they're sane people that hear voices. Like, they hear voices, but they also understand what's going on the entire time. They're like, okay, this is something that I deal with. So they brought those.
They're aware of these voices in their head.
They hear them. But and they're also aware know that there are voices.
They're aware that they're external voices.
Yeah, they don't listen to them.
Okay.
They just know that it's part of their psychoses.
Okay.
So they brought those people in and put headphones on their head and made them basically give them pointers on how to make voices in this character's head. And so that's why the first thing this game tells you is you play this with headphones, because the entire time your internal voices are talking to you and either cutting you down or building you up. Sometimes they're on your side. Sometimes there was times that I was completely, because after a certain huge thing happens in the game, they're like cheering you on for the first time and they're helping you out. And you're like, oh shit, I fucking won the voices over. And it lasts like 3 minutes and then they're fucking back at picking on you.
Yeah. I'm back to hurting that self-esteem. Yeah,
and, what is it? Questioning. It's all about questioning. Can she do it? I don't know if she can do it.
Didn't you give this as our homework assignment, oddly enough, last week? I think so. Or maybe I put that on to myself and Bobby. But I never got around to playing, just so you guys know and are well aware, for this episode, for this week, since I worked so damn much, I only played South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Oh, yeah.
So,
did you finish it?
No, I did not finish it, okay. But I did get further in the game. Cool. So I have not touched on Hellblade, and I still look forward to knowing more about, I mean, experiencing what you experienced. So
it's a rare thing for a game not to overstay its welcome. I feel like so many games, even the best ones, at some point just drag on, and you do experience a little bit of boredom, or there's a little bit of tediousness to every game. And I think maybe it's because we're so much older. We played a lot of games. Or I don't know.
Yeah, like when I played, what was it called? Velocity or whatever it was last week, 2 weeks ago. And I turned it back. I returned it right away.
Yeah.
Vanquish. I was just like, oh my God, I've been here 500 times. I don't want to be back here. This is brand new. Now, they didn't do this. Had they been like, we're doing this to raise money for people with psychosis. No. It was just like, our character has psychosis. We want to get it right. Let's put all this time and all this effort into it. It's kind of like how Ubisoft puts all that time into getting their area of Egypt right. They go back and look at history, and they talk about the culture, and they do the music right, and they do all this stuff. They did all of that, but for a mental illness, and then they put it in a very beautiful game. You know, one thing that turned me off initially from this game was the girl's face. I thought it was like, I don't know what it was about it. I was like, oh.
I mean, it looks almost exactly like the
actress's
face.
Yeah, but that's what I didn't know.
Even though she's like, not really an actress.
So for some reason, I was like, this is not a realistic face, so maybe all the graphics are going to be shit. But that's not the case. They took the real girl's face. Not everybody's gorgeous. Not everybody's pretty.
But she is gorgeous.
I mean,
In the video game, of course, she's covered in what looks like war paint.
Yeah.
She's you know, her hair is tied back and she has dreads, and that's already a very dirty appearance. Nothing with dreads, but dreads don't look clean. We all know that. So, yeah. And she's obviously going through some very harsh trials through the depths of hell.
Yeah.
And it is very emotionally driven, and faces filled with emotion aren't necessarily pretty faces. And generally we are spoiled when it comes to this, you know, a certain level of physical expectation when we're watching something, when we go to the movies, when
which
we
is
watch
why
TV.
We're all losing weight before we go live next week.
Except for Bobby. Bobby's just going to take his shirt off, guys. And then that's going to get all our viewers. But anyways, no, I think her being not the most attractive thing is the beauty behind it too, because it takes the most natural of art form there. It's just pure face, and what's the word for that type of motion capture again?
Motion capture.
That they do. It's not a motion capture. It's how they actually captured her facial features into the game. There's a certain name to that process, correct? I just can't think of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But as to your point, Chi, the longer this went on, the more realistic of a person she became.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I'm not playing a standard video game where your character's a 10 or a smoke show or whatever. This is a real person going through some crazy fucking shit, and this is exactly what it would look like. And as far as keeping it fresh, Bobby, the environments are so different. You're kind of doing the same things in these different environments, but they get even more and more perturbing through, and it keeps it fresh in that you're always like on edge. I've never turned around to check behind me while I was playing it more than this game. Like, some of the voices honestly, truly sound like they come from behind you.
So you could essentially say you felt somebody's breath on the back of your neck.
Almost.
That's why you had to like break your neck.
Like whatever the ball hair before that is, that's what you feel in this game. You're like, oh Jesus Christ. Yeah, and it's one of these games. It's in the running for Game of the Year for me, for sure.
Wow. Well, it did get a lot of recognition at the awards show, IGN, the Game Awards,
and it stays with you. One last thing, it stays with you after you play. I've thought about this game for, it's been about a week and a half since
you've been talking about it all month. Yeah. All month.
Yeah. It's special to me.
So $29.99.
It sounds like a game that you could talk about more than the length of which you had spent playing in it.
Yeah. I bought it for $13.99, I think.
Yeah, right. It's been on sale. And with the Steam Winter Sale coming up, I'm sure there'll be a discount on it as well. So good time to pick it up. All right. Well, I played like 5 minutes of Fortnite. I think I spent more time.
Wait. Fortnite, this
Battle Royale.
Battle Royale. Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't buy into the beta. I didn't have access to the other mode. So I wanted to try out the Battle Royale. And I get into it and I realize, I don't know what I was expecting, but I realized this is just PUBG. It's exactly like PUBG. It's got more of a cartoony style to it, which I kind of enjoyed. But
are the maps as large as PUBG? Because I remember watching a stream.
I don't know. I got shot
and
pretty quick.
It seemed as if the maps were a lot more smaller.
They might be a little bit smaller.
There were more
fields, enough PUBG to really
or maybe somebody
it.
Was just hanging around houses a lot. And smaller streets, but it just didn't seem as big as a PUBG map.
We really should play this.
Well,
it's free.
It's free.
As someone who doesn't play too much
PUBG. And it's also not PUBG. And I'm lying. I did play a little bit of PUBG. It's probably my first game that I've played. Oh, my goodness. And I played with C-Niper. It was, I think, the same day we recorded last week or maybe a day after that. But I decided to check out C-Niper's stream, saw he was playing PUBG. I was like, you know what? I haven't played PUBG in forever. I'll jump in and play a couple games. First game went fairly well, but I died in a blazing glory. That was awesome. And then the second game, we actually got a chicken dinner. So I'm like one.
Is that his
one,
first
one.
Chicken dinner? Was that the one he was posting?
I don't recall.
I think it might have been.
Is it?
I don't
well,
know.
I died recent. The first 10 seconds, so it doesn't really mean anything. But, you know, I was a part of that. Yeah,
it
sure.
It means a lot to him. You were the first step in his corners.
Yeah, maybe I just boosted his try hard ability because he's playing with a girl, and therefore he won.
I'll protect you.
He got carried. He got carried. That motherfucker got carried.
All right, Bobby.
By an Asian guy.
I'm sorry. What did you say about this game?
Sorry. Yeah. Continue on. I'm sorry. Let's Fortnite it.
So the only really big difference I can tell between this and PUBG is the progression system, and it's all cosmetic stuff. So you have your character and you can deck them out in different gear to make you look different, like even to the point where the parachute that you have, they have a different name for it. It's not necessarily a parachute, but that's really the only difference.
Do you think that affects the hitboxes at all? Because from what I can tell, the characters had different sizes. Like the women were significantly smaller than the men, or am I wrong?
Not really.
And then if you are getting a lot of cosmetic items, does that make you more or less bulky, making you easier to appear?
Let's play next week and find out. Yeah. Because he only played 5 minutes.
Oh,
right? Yeah,
Mr. 5 minute man.
5-10 minutes of it, and I was like, this is exactly like PUBG. Like I said, I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know why I was going into this being like, let's see what this is all about. But it, to me, as someone who doesn't play a lot of PUBG, you know, I'm drawing a lot of broad generalizations and comparisons here. To me, it seemed exactly like it, at least gameplay wise. I have zero interest in Battle Royale, but I am still kind of interested in the other mode that they have to offer. So maybe when that game goes free to play finally, or comes out of beta, then I'll check it out.
Bobby, are you completely disinterested in multiplayer FPS? It seems like it is, because
he's just waiting for Left 4 Dead 3. I'm telling you.
Name the last one that you were into.
Left 4 Dead 2.
No, but he wasn't playing the PvP.
Crucible on Destiny 2, maybe, but even that gets old after a while. Very quickly, that'll get old.
Actually, yeah, Crucible, that's not a good name drop for...
And I know that you're good at shooting things in the head, because you're really good at, like, co-ops and stuff at shooting at people.
I don't know. It's just to me.
What is it? I don't get it.
Probably the thousands of hours of TF2 and Team Fortress Class. I mean, I have that
logged in too. But what is it? What is that fucking saying when they hunt people? Like, the greatest game is when you hunt another human. Mm-hmm. Like AI, at least I won't say never, but will never give you.
You mean like deathmatch?
Well, right now you cannot find equal play style. Killing bots is so much easier than killing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not saying that one is more fun than the other. Mm-hmm.
One is definitely more gratifying.
No, I love PvP games. That's definitely what I prefer.
Do you, though? Not FPS? Name one.
PvP games or first-person
shooters? First-person
PvP. Oh, first-person shooters. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
See? But you like the single-player ones.
I mean, they're all right. Like, what single-player ones? Destiny 2?
No.
But in a single player first person shooter, there's usually more going on other than just shooting people in the head. I mean, that's comparing apples and oranges here. I don't know if you can really compare the two. Like, yeah, I play Wolfenstein.
Maybe you never were, though. You weren't a Counter-Strike guy.
Well,
TF2 maybe was your big one.
I think I was, because at the time everyone was playing Counter-Strike, I was playing Day of Defeat. However, like, everyone talks about their history with Counter-Strike and how much they were into that. I mean, I was the same exact thing, just with a different game.
Yeah.
A less popular version, great which game, seems though. To be my MMO.
Day of Defeat is a great game. I really hated really it. Good. I was overwhelmed by how easy it was to die in that game. Yeah. So I dropped it and went back to Counter-Strike after a couple of tries. Even though it's a great game. It's just that it was just, I felt extremely exposed and too many WTF moments for me.
I don't know. I've played so many of those in my past, and there just hasn't been one recently where it's just like, I want to spend all my time doing this. And
I'm not picking on you at all. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of, like, how Battle Royale isn't working for you. But in general, I don't think you like FPS PvP. There's one. There's TF2, and that's about it.
Yeah, it runs very thin for me. Like, I can do it for a little while, and then I'm kind of over it.
But you're good at shooting things in the head, so that's why it's kind of like...
Loadout was fun. I mean, for a minute there, before everybody really good just time. Paid to
Two
win.
2 weeks, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good run.
Cool.
Yeah, so Fortnite, not a hit with me, but maybe the other mode.
More FPS No, it's fucking third person. Anyway, Battlefront 2. I've been playing even more of that. This is
more
not
of the
so
multiplayer
much
or single player? Or everything. You already beat the single player,
everything.
Didn't you?
Yeah, so there's single player. Finished that. Towards the end, I was like, please finish. This is, I mean, it's just so repetitive. Bobby's right. Just shooting a bunch of guys. Then I went into arcade mode. Well, no, I did some multiplayer. Got my ass kicked. Just like everybody's been complaining. Everybody has all these fucking super-powered characters. It's really hard to win. So I went and played arcade mode, where you can unlock a bunch of credits and a bunch of like other stuff, and use that to kind of like unlock what you want. Right?
Okay.
Arcade mode is like a bunch of challenges, and they're actually really fun. And they introduce
and it's
you.
All PvE.
It's PvE. Yeah, it's a wave survival, but you're doing it by yourself.
Okay.
And you get to touch every character in the game. Like, you get to play as Senator Palpatine. You get
to play
as Darth
Vader. Oh, it's a good way to learn how to play.
Yeah, and which one you like the best.
That's
and stuff
nice.
Like that, which is
okay.
cool.
I like that.
I thought it was a really good kind of like middle ground before you. You should probably go through all the arcade before you go to online. So anyway, then I went to online and I realized that my favorite character is the officer. So all my loot boxes that I've ever got had nothing to do with the loot boxes. I mean, it had to do with the officer. So the only way to level up a character's star rating is to get star cards for that character. So I never got star cards for that character, the officer, because he has a turret. That's why he's my guy.
Are star cards part of like, the drops from the loot boxes?
Yes, exactly.
So it's all random.
It's all random. So I was getting a bunch of for everybody but the guy that I wanted to. But there's a crafting system, and you can pretty cheaply buy things, but you also need to play. Like, you can't just level your star cards all the way up and blah, blah, blah. You have to get your ranking up, which is not really like ranking like Overwatch. It's ranking more like you just keep playing and it'll rank up and you can't
okay,
go down.
Like experience.
Experience. Like experience.
Leveling up.
Yeah, so you can't go crazy.
So you're saying, and I'm just catching on to this, you're saying you put money into Battlefront 2
the game
as
itself.
A microtransaction?
I have not put any money.
Oh, okay.
And I will not.
Okay.
There's definitely not. What I'm doing is I put...
And how's your experience not putting money into it?
I paid $60 to get into it. And what I'm doing right now is actively trying to get my $60 worth.
Okay,
right?
I see.
So it's not a bad game. For sure it's not a bad game. Is this blowing him away? It's not a PUBG experience for me. Like, never does my heart get racing, ever. The things that I have to say, the best part, obviously the graphics, but also the star fighting is, like, on point. Every plane game I've ever played, I don't play them because I know that I'm terrible at dogfighting. I'm terrible. This game, I get, like, 5 kills to every 1 death. And it's just fun and easy. And you feel like you're an awesome guy. And then you go up against like Poe. I went up against Poe from the new Star Wars.
Yep.
And he was moving like Poe does. And I was like, I can't hit this guy. And he got behind me and blew me up. And I was like, that was worth it. Like, dying to him in that way where he kind of just dashed around exactly like it does in the fucking movie was awesome. And one last thing. Today, in heavy rotation, if you play the...
So you're saying he's overpowered?
Oh!
Sorry, that took me a while to come out, but I've got it. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No more Poe puns from you. So, The Last Jedi, Bobby, the sand that turns red,
mm-hmm.
That whole level is in already. They put it in today.
Oh, nice.
And I was playing it, and it is as beautiful as it is on film. Like, as you do things, the red's popping up. It's awesome. Those little scooters, or whatever they're called, mm-hmm. Those terrible little things that are flying around, are doing the exact same thing. Sand skiffs, or whatever they're called. So it's cool that they're actively working on this and stuff. It's probably not worth $60, but it's not going to be worth $60. It's not going to be $60. They already went on sale once. It was on like for $39 already. They know they fucked up, and they're doing the best to try to like stop the bleeding. The way I look at it, I still can't recommend it, even for probably $40 right now. But
well, the original one's like really cheap, isn't it?
It's free. Well, if you get
if you have Origin Access. Yeah, this one will probably make it to Origin Access eventually, and I'm sure we'll go on sale at many points in time.
I saw, I think it was PC Gamer, maybe Kotaku, who said if Disney says EA, you fucked up too much with the Star Wars franchise, who would be your ideal developer for it to go to? And you guys have
obviously mine is Bethesda. That's a good question.
Well, EA is not the developer; they're the publisher, right?
I don't know. I think they developed it too. The DICE did, right?
For Battlefront 2, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think for the first one, it was DICE. It might have been a combination of many development studios.
And isn't the publisher maybe makes the last decision on all that loot box stuff anyway?
Okay, so EA, DICE, Criterion DICE. Software, and Motive Studios. Yeah, so, and then publisher is EA. Yeah.
All right. Well, DICE is EA, right? That's their.
I think they own them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're going on. Anyway, who would you guys pick for your publisher or developer? I mean, your developer. Where should Star Wars go if they lose their contract?
I don't know. Because world? I think wherever they go, they're going to run into the same problem. Whichever development studio you pick, they're still going to run into problems with a publisher or another larger organization that's trying to just cash in on it at the expense of creativity and good choices for gameplay. So I don't
think Bethesda will drop the ball on this.
Oh yeah.
Well, Bethesda's not really known for PvP, consistent though.
On top of the ball for like years now. I don't think they've had a bad game in like 4 years.
No, some people would say Fallout 4.
Yeah, that's true.
But even with Bethesda,
that means for being right, Bobby.
See, you got to have, it's like with an IP game like Star Wars, you got to have somebody who can handle that kind of thing. Like, they aren't going to give this to some indie. I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't blame them. Look, hey, let's make a video game that goes along with the movie. Okay, cool. Who do we get? Let's get the biggest fucking people out. Let's get the number one publisher out there, EA. Let them handle it. It'll be fine. And it just so happened that they made the straw that broke the camel's back on this one.
Even though I think they still made more money doing it this way than they would have if they had gone any other way.
No, dude. No.
But then
their sales are down 60% from what Battlefront 1 did at the same amount of time.
And then not only that, this tarnishes their reputation, which affects future sales all in the same.
True too.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you give this game to, like, I don't know, some other smaller company, who made BioShock, the studio that split up with Ken Levine, who was that?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, like, if you give it to them, like, they don't have a big team or a big budget. I mean, medium size, I think. That studio was in a weird spot. It wasn't like AAA big. It wasn't like Ubisoft or something. So you need like something that big, like Ubisoft big, to be able to do what these people want from their games. This is a Star Wars IP, man.
Ubisoft,
they don't want to
just as big as that EA, dude.
If not, yeah, that's bigger. What I'm saying.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. You need a studio that size to kick off something like this. If you give this to, like, you know, the Firewatch guys, like, they'll make a cool little game that'll be really popular, but is it going to make money? No. Is that what they really care about? Like, the people,
it'll make money, just not enough money.
Yeah. Not enough money.
Yeah.
So, and first of all, Disney was probably sitting in on a lot of these meetings too. This shit didn't happen outside of EA or outside of Disney's awareness. They knew fully well EA's just taken all the blame for this.
And by the way, Disney's sitting in on every meeting from now on. This happened about 2 weeks ago. Since all this shit went down, Disney has a representative in
this
the board.
This just reminds me of that South Park episode where Mickey Mouse is going hard on everyone. He's basically just beating. He's going like mob boss.
That's awesome.
On so many different people. He's like, awesome. Oh, do you know who I am? And it's like, this is a clear example of that. I hope there are some parodies out there that
exist. Sometimes I sit down and I'm like, what am I going to watch that I haven't seen? Like, oh, Stranger Things already. I always forget South Park is there, and I can watch it anytime, and it's awesome.
I've caught up with the current South Park season, especially since I'm playing through The Fractured Butthole, and I'm enjoying it. I'm very much enjoying this
season. How do you have time for that since you were on this podcast and also filming Star Wars Last Jedi? All right. Let's move on.
There's a new season starting of Heroes of the Storm, and there has been a lot of trouble. I haven't done any of my ranked placement games. I never do at the beginning of the season because it's crazy. But what's happening is people have to play 10 games and then they place at a certain rank and then they can, you know, play games to go up and down from there. But people are getting matched up against ranks all across the board, bronze, silver, playing with masters, GMs, you know, it's just, well, I don't even know if anyone's ranked GM yet. They usually have to wait a little while to get into that
game master tier. What is GM?
Grandmaster, top 200 players. But it's all fucked up. And this is happening at the same time where Heroes of the Storm
is
introducing...
Is this because of a recent patch or what is going on?
The season reset.
Oh, the new season reset.
Now, they're saying it's because of a bug that happened.
Oh.
And that is unrelated to another feature that they've also brought in with this patch, which is the personal adjustments when it comes to matchmaking. This is something they were talking about BlizzCon. So, Overwatch had this where, you know, if you win the match, you win points. If you lose the match, you lose points. But if based on your performance, if you did really well, you
don't lose that much, right?
Yeah, you will win or lose a different amount of points according to your personal performance. So if you won the game and you did really well as your character, you get a extra few points there. Or if you lost the game and you did really well, then you don't lose as many points. So a lot of people think like the two are related, but Blizzard has said like, no, these are unrelated issues. But regardless, they've disabled the whole personal matchmaking thing. But to me, like reading about all this on Reddit, as far as the personal matchmaking goes, brought up an interesting idea to me of transparency, because everyone always advocates for transparency. And what I saw here was a little bit of transparency. First of all, if you give them too much, if you say you've got 25 extra personal points this game because you did this, this, and this, people know exactly what they do to milk the system.
So
if you're completely transparent, that could be an issue.
Game style.
And what they've done, I mean, they could not tell you what the transparency is at all, or what the points you got are at all. Be like completely opaque about it and just be like, all right, this is how many points you get. And you don't know, well, did I underperform? Did I overperform? Like what? But what they chose to do is give you a little bit of information and just say like, hey, you got 20 points extra because you did so well. We can't tell you why you did well or what you did well. You just did well and there's 20 extra points. And what I found is that this little bit of transparency, this little bit of information is the fucking worst possible bit of information to give people, because then they start extrapolating, well, because I did this and I did that. And people are making spreadsheets, like trying to record how they played the game and trying to figure it and make correlations on their own, which I don't think comes anywhere near to the actual science of this. So I don't know what the right answer is. You give people no information, they're upset. You give them too much, they milk the system. You give them just a little bit, and then they draw all these weird correlations that aren't accurate. Like, I don't know what the answer here is.
Transparency is the answer. And then you work your way back from, you give them everything, and then when things go wrong, then you work your way back. That would be, that's my humble opinion.
I don't know. When you start giving end users too much information, I think that causes a problem. Like, I don't know.
It gives them a lot of power too. It gives them a lot of influence, in my opinion. When the player is a little bit more naive, they have different complaints. But then I feel like with something completely I don't know how to say this. I feel silly.
There's really no easy answer.
Is there really an answer to this? Like,
you can't wrap
either
it
way,
up.
Somebody's abusing the system. Either way, somebody's complaining about it. With every new patch, you get the same amount of people who are happy as they are unhappy about something.
Yeah.
And that's why patches are a perpetual thing, especially in things like MOBAs, which are always introducing new characters, new maps, and there are different strategies and whatnot. It sucks that this bug makes matchmaking broken, but at the same time, all these games are always broken. All of the time, in my opinion. There's no sheer fair playing ground in all of these MOBAs.
I don't think a lot of people understand that, too, that there is a power vacuum. Like, people always complain about, well, this character's OP. Well, this one's OP.
Absolutely.
And the truth is, there's always going to be an OP character. If you nerf one, another takes its place. It's the power vacuum. So, yeah. And all these games are a work in progress, too. So, you know, it just seems to be when these patches come out, there's quite a few bugs. They work through it. It's stable for a while, and then they make bigger changes, and these things happen. I don't know. I mean, I go with the flow. I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. I like playing this game. But people on Reddit are getting very upset. But that's what they always do.
That's what they do.
Of course.
Bobby, I think if you took the mental power you put into this game and understanding the underlying underpinnings and all that into, like, Bitcoin, like, 10 months ago, we might be recording on a jet right now.
I mean,
maybe.
I mean, if we all had the information now that we did 10 months ago, I mean, you could say that about anything. Yeah, I would have, if I knew shit that I knew back then, I would have invested in Disney and Star Wars and, I don't know, Qualcomm.
I don't even know if Disney's publicly traded. I guess
you know
it
what?
Is.
Why yeah, can't we
my
just...
My brother has plenty of stock in him.
We could almost just as easily, outside of having foresight, maybe change our perspective and understand that being poor and just making ends meet might be just as fine as recording in a jet plane, because that sounds just a wee bit excessive, don't you think?
I don't like poor people, James. Moving on. Oh, and by the way, we don't have to worry about them because they don't listen to podcasts.
It's funny because they're talking to a poor bartender, and then we have a teacher in the room, and then we have a self-employed man.
Yeah.
All right, Destiny 2, Curse of Osiris.
Before you guys go, let me jump in because I played more and more of this. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to catch up. I'm almost through the single player. I'm enjoying it way more than I thought I was going to. I didn't want to like this game, and I'm liking it a lot more.
Are you playing with very anyone clear. Else, or are no, you kind of
well, nobody wants walking. To play the single player again, or the campaign.
Yeah, you missed the boat on that one.
Which is fine. I'm cool with it. I'm a little confused on how shit works. I don't want to ask people. Next time I play, I will ask people. But it is a little confusing because it doesn't work the way most games work. You don't kill things and your power level goes up. You just... anyway. And I don't like that, like...
I will admit...
When you get new shit, it doesn't tell you get new shit. You got to check your shit later on to see if you got new shit.
It's like identifying it.
Yeah.
And then here's the thing, too. It does help out, and I will say this from my experience with Destiny 2. The reason why I got so much done and got so far in such a little time.
No, we know.
Is geez. Because I had the right type of guidance. I had people virtually yell at me about not looting certain quest items until I got to a certain level. I had people pulling out their hair, trying to explain this hard to explain game to me. And it really did help me out when you have someone who just understands the structure of the game and the small nuances that will help propel you.
I don't want to get people mixed up here. The game is simple.
Oh, the game is easy. But the strategy to excel in the game is complex.
If you want
to,
like...
It's not traditional MMO grind fest.
Yes.
Not at all, in any sense.
No.
It's pretty grindy.
No, it's super grindy.
It's grindy.
But what you're doing with the grind is different. Well, at least that's what I'm finding in my first 3 hours, 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Curse of Osiris, I played through the expansion... And I don't know if this is the right way to do an expansion for this type of game. It's they give you more quests, and then you can do the heroic strikes, which is good. And more quests, that's the least enjoyable part of this game for me. It's like a chore. It's just like it was in WoW was, just doing the quests. And they get a lot of mileage out of this new area, Mercury. Like, I have seen the same shit over and over again so many times. Now, I did play a lot of this. Like, I binged it for a little bit. I got really into it. Power level 311 now, getting up there.
Goodness, I'm behind now.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. So I'm doing good, but I'm at the point where it takes so much just to get a little. Like, so much time just to get a little.
And you still haven't raided yet?
We did do Nightfall. I completed that.
That's not a raid, is it?
Nightfall?
No.
I don't know. Leviathan is the six man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done that. Haven't been able to find enough people to do that. So I
that's going to help boost you. Honestly, that's the one thing that's going to help you get over that little by little hump.
Yeah, that's the next logical step. There's really not a whole lot else I can do at this point to increase my power level other than just getting lucky on a few drops. I mean, I've done all the quests, that and the weekly stuff. So I don't know. I'm at a point with this game where it's just like I got to do Leviathan and that's really it. I don't know. I both love and hate this game. I keep playing it all the time. It's a great game if I just, I don't know how much time I have and I just want to like do something just to fill 15 minutes or it could be an hour. So
that's true. I do like the flexibility of the game and, you know, you could put as much or as little time as you want into it and still find some playability. And whenever you log on too, there's almost always somebody else playing. So there's always a social network there. Destiny 2 is still very much a very prominent MMO with plenty of players to help guide you through the game, Emilio.
There's a lot to figure out, but then once someone explains it to you, like Cricket Soldier was explaining a lot about this game to me as he watched me play on stream.
You said somebody else, Epic Tryhard.
Yeah, Epic Tryhard Face actually played with me and a friend of mine and helped us beat Nightfall. That's why I beat Nightfall with. And that was fun. I really enjoyed
it.
That was the most. No, I pulled my own weight. We didn't do very well. And I was like, I think I'm just too low level. So we ran a few strikes, whatever. I got a little bit better gear. And then we went in and we killed it.
Nice.
And that was a really fun time doing that. That was the most fun I've had in the game was running Nightfall because it was challenging Nightfall and we had to communicate. Three man strike.
In the DLC?
No, I don't think it's in the DLC. No, because my friend doesn't have the DLC. So it's timed. You're on a timer. You got to find things and shoot them along your way to give yourself more time. And so you're on the clock. There's an urgency to it. And then you have the boss fight, which is challenging. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to use my super here. Now you use your super. All right, I'm on ads. Now let's DPS the boss. I mean, it requires a little bit of communication.
I'm really digging the layout, guys. What do you think of the podcast? Like, I like that I can look at you guys. Talk right into the mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this table, man, this table is a good call.
Yeah, this table is good.
Yeah.
As we're speaking, I am drawing Destiny doodles.
No,
I'm kidding. No, but I am
so
doodling.
I was like, wow,
I'm
she's taking notes this entire episode. And I look down, and she's making fucking... there was a character in...
it looks like Gumby.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2, where it was kind of like a Lego guy. That's kind of like what she's drawing. Hmm. So...
I'm a doodler. And it helps me listen better.
Yeah, you are.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird looking at you guys, especially since you're so close. Well, I'm used to Emilio being
so
close,
sexy.
But no. But see, I'm used
to
being
I'm distracting.
No, I'm used to being like shoulder to shoulder.
All of this and all of that. And all of this.
I'm used to being shoulder to shoulder with Emilio. So most of the time, I'm not breaking my neck trying
your
to look at him.
Toes must be freezing.
They are actually. My
butt.
Feet are in my shoes, and they're
That's
freezing.
Where they usually go. Where else would they be?
Well, normally I don't wear
shoes. My
shoes
are in my pockets.
Normally I don't wear shoes.
And let me tell you, my knees hurt.
Normally I take my shoes off and then I stick my feet underneath your bum and it keeps them warm. And that's why we have that little personal heater for my feet, Amelia. We might have to turn it on next time. But yeah, but this is different because I'm closer to Bobby than I've ever been before in terms of physical space.
That means 3 feet away.
Not even 3 feet. Oh, yeah, kind of. In a way.
Robots need their space.
And it's nice. I feel like I can swivel my chair and direct my ear to the direction of which you're speaking. I can make eye contact when I want. And then if I don't want to stare at you guys or just stare into space,
I
doodle. And it helps me concentrate.
Bobby,
I am not the only doodler here.
Was it worth the $35? Since it seems like the funnest part of this game was not in the expansion pack.
Well, $35 was for Curse of Osiris and whatever the next DLC is.
Oh, you get two?
Yeah, yeah. So $20 for Curse of Osiris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean,
you're only paying
it's better 150% than paying a subscription fee.
What did you get, though?
What should be
one What is Curse of Osiris?
Game.
Did you tap
more,
into that?
More missions.
Okay.
You can run heroic strikes. See, the thing I don't like about it is it gates you off from end game content, which I don't know.
No. So what Destiny 2 did?
We've talked about this game so long. It doesn't
A lot of consumers are upset.
Okay, you can talk about it forever and ever, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, a lot of consumers are upset because there is a lot of content available that used to be available to a player who only had their original game that was blocked off unless you had purchased the DLC content. So they took something that was already available.
What if you had already completed it?
then you're just fine. But if you had not purchased the expansion and still want to play the full extent of the original Destiny, of course. And that's why people are so upset.
Yeah. But all those people that are complaining, if they're that passionate about it, they spent the money anyway.
Well,
if they're
I think I've gotten to the root of what the problem of this game is after binging it. Like, I've been playing a lot of this. I played over Heroes of the Storm the last couple of days. There is not enough content in this. There's just not enough things to do in this game. There really isn't. When you think of an MMO,
last week now, you've paid, I guess $95 at this point, if you would have paid for the original.
Mm-hmm.
And you've gotten hours-wise, how much? Over 100 hours?
I think what's frustrating me and what might... I don't know if I'm speaking for anyone else out there, but what frustrates me is I'm doing the same shit over and over again, which is... I'm not even upset about the money. I don't care about throwing $35 at this. I think it's better than paying a subscription fee. It's not like anyone can get away with doing that except WoW these days anyway. But it's not like a price thing. It's the fact that there's just not enough to do. I don't care what I paid for the game. Like, the game itself upsets me because I'm going through the same exact areas. I'm shooting the same exact guys. I'm doing the same exact missions, the same exact public events, the same exact strikes. Everything is exactly the fucking same. And all I want to do is just get better gear. I'm like a fucking hamster on a little rat wheel or a little wheel. Stop just going.
And no, Amelia, it's not as... It's not as simple as that.
So I
understand where Bobby is coming from.
You want to get that high power level, dude. You just want to see that number go.
I understand where Bobby's coming from. And
you guys remind me of those people at the slot machines just hitting.
That's what it's like, dude. That's what this game is like.
Yes. And
I don't want to get in that. I don't think I'm going to continue. I'm going to delete it.
I'm going to repeat my...
I don't want to start. Why
turn back now.
No, at least raid with us. We're going to do a DLG raid.
Why? I don't want to be...
Because it's fun. Repetitive, but fun. Hey, things like that exist, right?
Bobby, repetitive but fun?
I mean,
yes.
See?
I want the results, but I just don't want to do the same thing over and over again, and that's what you have to do. So, I mean, it's good when you don't want to think and it's late and, you know, it's like, I'm just going to wind down, play some Destiny. I mean, whatever, but it's just... I don't know. That part of the game really... Even the Curse of Osiris, like, I went through the quests, and even the quests had me going back and forth through this area they call the forest, like... so many times. And then I did the heroic raid, or I did the strike in Curse of Osiris, and they just take the level and that's your strike, and except it's on a higher difficulty or something.
And I've mentioned it before, but I think I have a word for it now. I've never seen a game this contentious ever. Everybody seems to play it but do nothing but complain about it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be one of those people. So I can't believe that the juice is worth the squeeze. Is the juice worth the squeeze?
I don't know. I think we're all just like telling each other, like, well, you know, everyone else is playing, so I should play it. And like,
well, because
it's very pleasant. I mean,
I think if anything, the expectation of what Destiny 2 was is that it's one of the first mainstream MMOs that PC gamers can all get back into. It's like calling out to all old members of your guild and be like, "Hey, yo, are you going to jump on that Destiny?"
It's like when Overwatch
came out.
I'll
see you. I'll see you. I'll see you. In fact, it's done this. It did that for me. It reunited me with some of my old WoW friends that I've played games with sporadically, but like some of these friends won't play MOBAs with me because they hate me as their support. There are other players who won't play FPSs with me, but Destiny 2, this is an MMO. This is one game that they can tolerate playing with me.
This is just the smallest MMO I've ever played. Like, imagine World of Warcraft, but at the end of the game, there's only one dungeon you
can. But you're not playing a monthly fee.
Yeah. Well, I'm not upset about the money. That's not the issue for me.
And then,
but imagine that. Imagine you only play one.
Well, I'll repeat. Get hooked before I get your complaints.
I'll repeat something that
I'm
said.
Just being a devil's advocate.
Something that I said once before, and very early on when we were starting to talk about Destiny. When I was going through the game, there was so much of the actual in-game, not necessarily content, but world, atmosphere, trail, basically. And I was taking it all in. The graphics are great, but I'm like, why am I even here? You know, why am I in this part of this world? Why is it taking me so long to get to point A to point B, and I'm not actually necessarily accomplishing anything? So I feel like instead of putting too much into the world, I think they should have put more into actual content. So I think a lot of the effort or a lot of the emphasis is in the wrong categories.
Yeah.
So world, actual environment and world development, that's not necessarily world development, but graphics and environment, it's all there.
Would you
But lack of content and gameplay could use a lot more.
Would you love your character as much if you didn't go through that character developing phase?
Yeah, absolutely. If I had more to do with my character.
Like, it's like such a
I want to do more with my character. If you recall me mentioning going through Leviathan and beating the raid and then spending another hour just maneuvering through this raid planet finding loot. Like, was that really necessary? Jumping all those different loopholes, going up vents, crawling through shafts, just to find this other loot. And it's just maneuvering. It's a maneuvering. It felt like a maneuver game. Like I was a ninja warrior when I would rather just be fighting more bosses and going through different areas with actual, you know, enemies and or different challenges rather than just walking through the game to get epic loot.
Can we all just agree that playing, goddammit, what is the, what's the one that you play together? It's a, goddammit, never mind, I'm drunk. Sorry, guys. What's the cel-shaded game that you play together?
And it's Borderlands.
Borderlands. Mm-hmm. Can we just all agree that Borderlands is better?
No.
But it's not an MMO.
No. You're saying that Borderlands 2 is not a better game than Destiny 2?
It depends on what you want out of the game.
Wow, you like it that much. See, with all these complaints, it's all hazy for me. Bobby, I can't tell that you even like Destiny. Yeah, you never say anything good about it. Nobody ever says anything good about Destiny 2, yet everybody's playing it.
I think because it has a lot of potential, and there's so many ways that it falls short, it's just, you wish the game could be, I wish the game had like 10 more strikes. I wish the game felt more like every other game in the world. I guess I wish it was more like World of Warcraft. That's what I end up saying about everything. Mm-hmm. If you're even going to attempt an MMO, you got to take a page or a few pages from World of Warcraft because they did it so right there.
What did you main in Warcraft?
I was a mage. Vanilla, I was a warlock. TBC, I was a mage. Undead.
Undead.
For the horde, baby.
What was her racial ability? Did it help your DPS?
I totally forgot what their racial ability was.
I think
they
changed a lot of the passives anyway.
Yeah, right. She seems like a DPSer, right?
Yeah, I am. Through and through, virtually any game I pick up, I like playing the damage class.
That's another thing. How many classes does World of Warcraft have? How many classes does Destiny 2 have?
I went tank on Destiny 2 just because you guys had both went warlock.
But here's the thing.
I didn't go warlock.
The beauty of WoW is that you also had different races. You had different spawn points. You had different stories. You had different quest lines. I know, but that's the thing.
One costs you $300 a year, and the other one costs you $70 a year.
The thing about Destiny 2, and this concept is what really annoys me. To get further, they want you to completely re-roll a character and just
move on.
Just go from there.
I'm done.
It's and then going through the same exact
20 minutes.
Thing.
Just 20 minutes. We got
to
move on.
Same exact thing to get further.
Right. We got to move on.
So different. All right, let's go on.
I'm sorry.
Let's move on.
All right, let's talk about some news. All right, so news. So Patreon, we didn't talk about this. We briefly mentioned the changes to Patreon. They were going to make some changes that would have really, really been bad for the people who donate on Patreon. It would have put more fees on them. And it also would have really punished people who donate to several Patreons. You would have been paying a lot more, especially if you're the type of person who donates like $1 to 10 people, then you would end up paying quite a bit more, per pledge or per week or however you do it. But everyone got super upset with this. I swear every YouTuber, it was not good for us. Every YouTuber, every podcast I listened to was just like, what? Cause this came out of nowhere. They were really upset with it. They complained about it. And apparently days later, Patreon was like, all right, we're canceling all that. We're just going to find another way to work this out.
And you really have to appreciate
cut,
that.
Right?
That's what they do right now.
I mean, take a large, if you need to mm-hmm. keep the lights on, Or
yeah, and they were going to change it. So some people do like per episode or per whatever. So every time you release content, then the pledges get charged. And they were going to do away with that and then just have everyone do a flat monthly thing, which depending on how you do, how you run your Patreon, that can be really bad. So it was just not good at all. And I'm glad they reverted it. And hopefully that's the last we hear that.
It was initially very shady that they did implement all of these extra service fees and charges, and really, I mean, they pulled an EA, right? They did everything out of course, anybody needs to run like a business to have profit and everything else. But the way they approached this, just threw it on everybody. They got the appropriate reaction. Countless complaints, people who discontinued their services. And then here's the thing. And I'm glad that they recognized, you know, and listened to the consumer and took back everything. It was
Well, I think a lot of people were going to jump ship
and we're sorry.
Find another place
to. That is the problem, though. I believe they're the only game in town.
No, there's another one.
Is there?
Because
name it, though. That's how small it is.
No, it's called like Dribble or Drip or something like that.
If I were any other competing company, this would be a really good time because
Did you guys hear?
Shove Patreon out of the way and be like, hey, we're the next big best thing that won't do you wrong.
They handle money. That's all they do.
Yeah.
Well, in listening to all these other content creators that I follow,
where's
talk
PayPal
about this,
and all of this? So
I don't know. PayPal?
They don't have a similar structure.
They should have.
They should.
Yeah.
They should have been there.
But I mean, there are other ones, and people who do this have mentioned like the names of those ones because they've considered going to it at Patreon, did go through with this. But you got to understand, for us, like we're very thankful for the Patreons that we have, and that's
absolutely
great.
And
we want
more
get the money. Yeah, you know, that all goes directly into, you know, what you're seeing now or we'll see next week with the table, the chairs, you know, the computer we want to get to stream shit, the camera. Like we use that money to better the show, but for other people, like that's their fucking paycheck, dude. That's their livelihood. Like they make a living off of this. So to make those changes is like saying, like, hey, you're losing your job or getting a severe pay cut.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Patreon tax just hit home. Yeah. Like,
So I don't know. That's like pretty bad when you find out like, hey, I am totally reliant on this company for income, for my livelihood. Like that's, I don't know. I'm glad we're not in that situation. Like where we're completely relying on it. But, that was the severity of the situation.
The DLG podcast.
Yeah.
So you guys know what we're just going while we're on the Patreon tip. We always talked about getting a studio and blah, blah, blah. Now we got one for free because it's in my house. But now we need way better equipment, like our camera. We need like Bobby's talking to me, a really expensive camera.
Well, not that expensive.
And here's the thing, too. We're outside of needing these upgrades, I feel like we could do more in basically upgrading the Patreon packages. Now that we have video involved, now that we have the studio, there's so much more that we can do. We can actually commit to these DLG gaming nights. We can really become more of a larger community by outreaching to, you know, our Twitch viewers or gaining a Twitch viewership.
We can have sex with you on this desk if you pay enough.
No. Well, obviously, I'm not signing up for that.
No, me.
But here's the thing. It's, you know, we already appreciate so much that's going into it, and it will show, you know, as we go through these growing pains of putting together a more quality podcast, of putting together our studio, becoming a vodcast on top of everything else. And we're just going to get bigger and better. And any support that you offer is going to help us get there and much easier and hopefully much quicker too. So thank you for anyone that's contributing.
Anybody.
And anyone that's considering that doing, contributing. Yeah. It's patreon.com/ DL Gaming. If not, just go to dlgaming.net and click on Patreon link.
Support.
There you go.
dlgaming.net, click on. That's where everything is. Let's take a break, guys.
And we're back. All right, so we left off with news. Next up, free from Ubisoft, couple of games, Black Flag, World in Conflict, and Watch Dogs.
That would be a few games, not a couple, but they
a couple.
They just added Watch Dogs to the list. I believe you go to ubc.com/event, and they will have these free games for you.
Well, does it force you to download Uplay?
Yeah,
or
I'm
is
sure
Uplay
these are
even in effect?
Yeah.
Okay, so Uplay is still around. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. They're probably trying to push that launcher as well, so this might be a way to get people on that. Plus, Black Flag is so old, I don't think anyone's buying it, and it's a great way to promote that game because it is considered one of the best ones, at least until Origin.
Does anybody know what World in Conflict is?
World in Conflict was that RTS familiar. Game. I had a friend who was really into it for a while. It's like a military RTS game.
Command and Conquer-esque, or?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
All right. And Watch Dogs is kind of a single-player GTA, isn't that right?
Sure. GTA, a little more serious. Way more serious.
Yeah.
And more about hacking.
Yeah. Everybody knows what Watch Dogs is. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, a couple of free games. Get them while you can.
A few free games. Not a couple. A few. A couple would be two.
I think we have to run this by dictionary.com to...
Well, a couple...
Well, I guess a couple would be two.
Like, we coupled up. There's one, a male and a female. A P and a V.
But think about it. When you say a couple of times, that could...
That literally means two. A couple is always two, no matter what.
Alrighty.
All right. So you look it up while we move on to the next one.
Speaking of couples, how about the one that is in disarray? Dr. Disrespect and his most recent announcement of going on a hiatus due to infidelity.
I have further commentary on this, but let's start with the original stuff. I'm a little proud of, you know, this is what you do. You fuck up, you get out in front of it, you say how you fucked up, and people are way more forgiving about it than if you were to like hide it and then it comes out later and you were lied about it. This is the way to handle you being a fuck up.
This is Dr. Disrespect giving 100% transparency.
Yes.
Which...
Even though he couldn't look at the camera in the eye, but I get it.
Well, why not? I mean, when you're ashamed of something, it's understandable. If you are curious to know more about what transpired, you could simply just look up Dr. Disrespect and find the clip of him starting up a stream to... apologize, announce his hiatus, and let everyone know that he fucked up and is going to work on, you know, focusing on his family. He has a kid too. So it's good, and I applaud everything that he's doing because it's simply him announcing his priorities to the world.
Yeah.
And Twitch is... a real thing when it comes to creating celebrities. And there's a lot that is involved with fame. And I'm not saying, you know, all celebrities can be promiscuous, but it is a type of reverence that these people get. And they essentially, since they are in the public eye, they should be idols or choose to be idols. And Dr. Disrespect, you know, is a public figure that is apologizing and is taking the right course of action to focus on the things that are a priority in his life, which is his marriage and his child. And I respect that.
Yeah, he's doing it right.
What do you think about the whole thing, Bobby?
As somebody who sleeps around constantly.
I mean... No, this is definitely a bold move on his part. It takes a lot of guts to do what he did and to step away from that. I have a feeling this reinforces my idea that I do not want the limelight. Like people really, you know, they really vie for that. They really want to experience that fame and riches, but you know, that comes with a price. And I think he got really popular really fast. It got a little out of hand and then, you know.
And he got showered with pussy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's not a pedo stash. That's a pussy stash.
Pussy comes with a price, though.
It does.
Well, and when you think about it, too, and something that is so different about live streaming and acting for television and for movies is that live streaming, even though you're playing a video game, even though you put on an act like Dr. Disrespect, Dr. Disrespect is more than just a live streamer. He is an actual character. And certain people will actually do a little bit of acting when they are on camera. And this one here, but live streaming is more intimate. It's more personal. It's a webcam in front of your life, and you are constantly on for hours on end.
But it's not his life. It's Dr. Disrespect's life. Just like an extra level.
But here's the thing. The extra level is that chat room. The extra level are the people that you're interacting with. And people ask questions when you stream. People learn about you. I mean, there are...
A what? The Slick Daddy Club.
Oh, the Slick Daddy Club. Yeah, that's right. I personally do not.
I just got into him this month.
I don't watch him.
It's kind of sad for me that I'm like all into him and then he's gone.
I don't watch him.
Really fun.
I do watch a couple of mainstream Twitch stars, but I do not watch Dr. Disrespect myself. That's when I kind of pull. When Disrespect was getting pretty big on Twitch, that's when I started pulling away.
He got like three top streamer of the year. Awards.
I know he does a lot of things right.
Yeah.
And do you think he did the right move with what he did? This Absolutely. Announcement, this hiatus?
What do you mean, banging the girl?
I don't know the details.
Or a guy? I don't know.
I don't know the details, but
I don't know either. Nobody does.
I do understand how it's not just fame. You are in constant interaction with other individuals, and it's and whether you're at a bar,
more
at the grocery store, or you know, talking or playing PUBG together, there is always room for not always room for infidelity. That sounds horrible.
No, but there's that's also, a good way to put it.
There's always that chance. There's always that percentage. There is actually a huge reason why I don't stream as much.
If you meet
because
thousand,
of my relationship, I would be lying straight through my teeth if I said my relationship and this newfound relationship I have with someone was a huge reason why I'm not in front of the webcam anymore.
It makes sense, it
has straight correlation with my interpersonal relationships and then my online relationships. Yeah. So,
it's like, it's almost like you meet 1,000 people. No, most people meet one new person, two people per day, maybe. Maybe.
And on top of that, you're not giving these strangers your time of the day.
Exactly.
Whereas,
and then this guy is like shake hands and all this stuff. And then if you're meeting 1,000 people a day, somebody's going to roll snake eyes and he's going to let you put it inside of him or whatever it is. You know? So I don't know. It's weird. Let's go. Yeah, he did the right move at this point, I guess. But nobody can be surprised that somebody that's, no, I don't know if he's rich, but if you're famous, it's a tale as old as time. Bill Clinton, Bill Cosby, anybody.
Bill Pullman.
Sure. If you're rich and famous, you cheat on your wife or you cheat on your husband. That's just how it goes.
Bill Pullman didn't cheat on his wife. I don't want to spread that rumor.
Okay, yeah, don't start that. I don't even know who that is. I know, you're going on the Bill train.
Well, that's the thing. I think anybody can cheat on anyone. And the thing about this, though, is when you're famous, it's more likely that the cat's out of the bag.
Everybody
and
knows about
I think
it.
Dr. Disrespect Maybe. Knew that the cat was obviously already out of the bag, and he had to come clean, not maybe through initial choice, but he did come clean, and who knows the dirty deeds.
Here's a theory. Maybe she threatened
to
come out with this information, and then he beat her to the punch. Or maybe it wasn't a she, it was the young boy's mother.
Who?
Think about
what
it.
Young boy?
The young boy that he slept with.
Wait, who?
He's I'm creating room.
Too deep.
Oh, my gosh. Fake news here in DLG.
Yeah, but... You know, as transparent that he was, I mean, you made the comment that he was very transparent about this. And yes, he was about that, but he didn't release any details. So I wouldn't call this full transparency, but it goes to prove my point again that he probably shouldn't be.
There
who
was
it was, idea. Where it was,
Look,
when
I
it
let
was.
Her suck my dick for 15 minutes. And then
now I'm transitioning into a webcam boy.
But you know, these are the questions that people
like,
are asking.
So guys, when you see my sex tape out there, just know that
there could have been a sex tape.
I made a big fucking mistake.
You guys would not disagree that this is the way you handle fuck ups. you get out in front.
Make a public announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Before the news gets a hold of it, you get out there.
And then you become.
And you say, absolutely. And then you win.
Self-shame is more acceptable yes. than public
yes.
shaming.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
All right. So now that we've spread all sorts of lies, let's get into listener feedback. First question.
Warconius.
Coming from Warconius.
Our infamous listener question MVP,
generator.
By the way.
Yeah.
Warconius, without fault, week after week, will contribute a listener question. And if you are interested in contributing, there are a multitude of ways. But the number one way to do it is to go on our Discord through the link that you can find all over our website or Steam
listener.
Community. And go to the listener's questions
tab,
section. Yeah, yeah. And drop off. Your listener question there.
Bobby, have we ever not answered a question? I think maybe one, maybe two tops.
Yeah,
right?
They pretty much all get on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very rare that we purposefully skip one.
Yeah, but how honestly are we answering these questions?
I mean,
100% transparency on the DL Gaming Podcast.
From DLG.
All the details.
Got a 5% bonus to Discord cred from this question.
Yep. He asks, best gaming-related Christmas present you've ever received.
Never got a gaming-related Christmas present
oh,
ever.
Oh, bullshit.
Never once. And
didn't we buy you Steam games for Christmas at Secret Santa?
Yep.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So one of those.
Those are actual games. Game-related games.
Yeah, that. I have no idea. That was like 3 years ago. Whatever you guys got me, that.
Shit.
But I was going to say that, like, I'm the baby of my family. Like, wait, my next sister up is 16 years older than me. And then it goes all the way up to, like, 24 years older than me. My mom's a slut.
That means you get the best gifts, right?
Multi-generational slut. What?
The baby always gets the best presents. You're basically the spoiled prince
slash
princess.
Yeah, but they're all in San Jose. So they all buy me warm weather gear. I'm the hottest person. Not that like hot, like I'm delicious, but hot. Like I don't wear pants. I don't wear long sleeves. Like I'm always hot. And all they buy me is sweaters and sweats. That's what I get every
Maybe
single
year.
Maybe
that's their way of saying, here are some clothes that you can wear when you come visit
Cover
us.
Up your hair.
You should never buy someone outerwear in San Diego. I've gotten like sweaters, jackets, and stuff, and I'm like, I'm going to wear this one day a year.
You know what's funny? I actually asked for scarves for my Christmas present. And you're right, though. When I was buying presents for Max's sister that lives up in San Francisco, I bought her a very warm, fuzzy poncho.
Well, women's different, though. Yeah. Women get a lot colder than guys.
That's true. I'm freezing, by the way. Ask my toes.
Maybe you want to guess?
I mean, I don't have a thyroid, so I have an intolerance to cold.
But
general.
Every girlfriend I've ever
had. So what's
had
this theory?
Here's my theory.
Not proven theory. Let's
so
set the premise
that
here.
That I think of goes back to hunter-gatherer, if not caveman days, right?
Sure.
Because we're a lot longer them than we are now. So I think the coldest girl in the cave always look for warmth. And the warmth came from some fat fucking caveman, right? So
you're saying
cold,
the cold cave women were fucking sluts.
Well, not on purpose, though. Not because they were horny, because they were cold. So they went to go warm up with this guy and got beast fucked.
Okay, too bad we're not a podcast yet, because you just can't see me literally just
she's not having
like it. Head down, like me pinching the bridge of my nose. Like, what is this? What is just...
Let me put
for
it in.
Shame, I can't look up
One
straight at the camera.
When 20 people are living in a cave, do cold people have sex more than warm people? Probably.
If
they probably die easier.
Have you ever had sex in the frozen cold? It sucks. I hate it. And I am saying this because I'm from Minnesota. And when I was younger and sexually active in that cold, cold fucking state, I was miserable. I hated having sex in the cold. Like, my boyfriend, actually, even now to this day, if Max has cold hands, I won't let him touch me. If he has cold feet, I won't let him touch me with it. It is the number one,
hands up, bro.
It is the number one lady boner kill, cold hands. And I'm just saying, for me particularly, I don't know, maybe other girls like cold hands. I definitely don't. I don't like cold anything.
So Christmas presents received.
Gaming related Christmas presents.
Yeah, what kind of tangent was that?
I don't know. Super Nintendo when I was like a kid, that was a good one.
Super good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was a birthday present. Same system though.
Yeah, the best.
I'm going to see how fast I can grab a beer.
I would say the best gaming-related Christmas present I've ever received was the metal DDR pads for DDR PlayStation 2, the arcade edition DDR pads. And they go for about $200 a pop. Mm-hmm. So my brother and I, we were really big DDR. To fit the stereotype, we were really big DDR players. And we kept on going through the foam mats. And by the time we went through five or six, we were like, you know what? We've already spent the money. We should upgrade. And my big brother did one of those, I want it so much for myself, I'm going to buy this and say it's for you kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so we got the DDR arcade pads. And from there, I was able to go from like pleb dancer to AAA every single song. So it was a well investment. It's a very good investment.
I played DDR. I think we have a video of it somewhere. Maybe a month ago, I played it at Coin Op, Bobby. Not when you were there, but like the week
before. Was it actual DDR or?
It's the big one at the arcade. Is that what?
Is it? Do the directions go up, down, left, right, or at different angles?
No, up, down, left, right.
Okay, so that's real DDR.
Okay, cool.
Was that your first experience with that?
To my knowledge, yeah. And so me and my friend played it on like a drunk dare, like, yeah, go up there, F word, motherfucker. Right? So the kind of thing. But then we went up there and we had a lot of fun. It's actually so much fun.
It is a lot of fun.
It's so much fun.
It is lock yourself in the basement until you actually ace the game, ace the song fun. That's what I would do. I would not leave the basement until I mastered a song.
You're a completionist.
A perfectionist too. You know, it's one of those things where it's like it's also a rhythm game. Well, it's obviously a rhythm game, but a pattern to the rhythm. So once I became more comfortable with the pattern, it was much easier. So yeah, pretty awesome.
Can you dance, Chi?
Yeah, really well.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Flip upside down and twerk off this wall if I wanted to, but I won't.
Whoa.
But continuing on, Bobby, what did you say again?
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
Bobby, right. Can you dance?
How's your memory that good?
I don't drink anymore, so no. The answer to that
is
no.
So when you were drunk, you could dance?
I thought I could.
Did you ever break dance? You look like you could break dance.
That's so funny you should mention that.
Oh, boy.
I think you did, Bobby.
When he was on the moon being a rice farmer.
You know that part in Napoleon Dynamite where he finds that dancing video in the dime store? I, no joke, bought like a how-to break dance video.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like on VHS.
That's so cool.
Oh, I'm talking like 20 years ago. Oh, you know, I was like 13.
Please tell me the name of it. Please.
I found it online.
Oh, what is it called?
It's just like How to Break Dance, Volume 1 through 9. Like,
oh,
it's out there. Yeah. And so I would practice break dancing. And I mean, I could do a few moves. It's,
yeah. Oh, that's so cool, Bobby.
Where's the cardboard at?
Maybe for when we upgrade our Patreon specials.
I would probably break my fucking
ass. When we upgrade our Patreon specials, $1,000 exclusive break dancing videos.
Level is Bobby.
You know what? If Bobby can break dance, I could do some raving. I could like do a little glow stick raving. So what are you going to do, Amelia, when we make this music video?
Suck somebody. Hold on. Never mind. Right.
Not that kind of video.
That's porn. That's adult.
No,
video.
I can actually dance.
You could dance? Yeah. Can you, like, do you pop? Do you, like, what particular choreographed dance are you confident
in? I'm very good at mimicking whoever's in front of me. So it doesn't matter what they're doing.
So you could pop, lock, and drop it?
Yeah. Particularly, like,
shake it
salsa.
Like a salt shaker?
Salsa. I can pretend.
Shake it like
Latin
a Polaroid
dancing.
Picture?
I'm very good at pretending Latin dances. Yeah,
okay.
My hips are very loose.
That's okay. That's something you could teach us.
Got
or me
laid
at least.
A lot.
All right, I think we got our questions out of order here, so I'm going to start with this next one. Epic Tryhard Face asks, what games did you start in 2017, didn't finish, but totally will in 2018?
Every single one.
Like, totally, I swear. Yeah. That was me.
Oh, what about your list, G? Do you want to go through your
list? Wait, no, that's another question.
Yeah, that's the third question.
For this particular question, I will answer Divinity 2. Right off the bat, I know that is a game that I did not finish. I put a lot of time into re-rolling multiple times. But and will eventually finish. It's just that I just have to start all over again and just stick through it. And I know I will because that game is amazing.
PC Gamer gave it Game of the Year. And I'm starting to believe that maybe... Think about this, guys. Maybe this whole build, try, fail, re-roll, build, try, fail is part of what they intended you to do. Like, that's how the first game was. And maybe that's part of the problem solving that they wanted you to do. And that's part of the fun. And maybe, just maybe, I'm just throwing this out there. By the time you're done with that, you don't want to finish the game. But it's okay because you had so much fun doing the other part. What do you guys think?
Yeah, trial and error, that's definitely a thing. Learning the hard way, I think that's an... aspect of a really good game, something that's challenging, and that's why it's also so very appealing. If you can make 100 mistakes and actually get somewhere with the game and feel accomplished, I don't want to play that game. I want to be able to really learn my way around the game and from there get that gratification of beating the game and trying hard to beat the game. How do you feel about that whole re-rolling element of Divinity 2 or any other game?
I think it's just a sign of a very difficult game, and people like difficult games. It means there's lots of room to improve, and that's one thing people... I mean, we play games because they're challenging, and when you beat that challenge, you feel that sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. So a difficult game gives you plenty of opportunities to feel that sense of accomplishment. But you stole my answer. That's actually the game that I started, did not finish, and definitely plan on going back and finishing. The real question is, do I start a whole new... do I start again fresh, or do I pick up where I left off? Because I stopped playing that game because I just had a really tough fight that I couldn't get past. And I came close, but eventually I just kind of lost interest.
You weren't with me. Firewatch.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Zero difficulty. You just play it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so, along the
lines of a fantastic game.
Simulator.
What?
It's kind of like a walking
doesn't
simulator.
Doesn't matter. It's a game. And we played it. And
I'm not arguing with you.
Okay. Critically acclaimed. You say that you play games because they're difficult and overcoming that. So
that's not the only reason you play a game. I mean, Firewatch has its own pros to it. I mean, it's
here's the thing. It's like
I haven't played it, but it's not here. It's very
like
entertaining.
A game like Firewatch, I'd like to see you try really, really, really hard to put more than 10 hours into that game. Like Divinity 2, you could put 10 hours in the first night and get anywhere.
Why are we talking about time versus? I'm saying, Bobby just said the reason we play games is for difficulty. And overcoming those difficulties. I just said Firewatch has no difficulty, and it's super enjoyable and one of the best games of that year.
Well, there's other reasons you can play and enjoy a game.
Okay.
Other than difficulty.
All right. No black and white here. Actually, one white, no blacks. We have a yellow and a brown.
All right. So following up with that, Steven Sensei asked, did she meet her goal of beating 12 games this year?
Oh.
Gee, can we go over your list? Actually, you did better than I thought you would, which was like maybe two.
So I don't know. I think out of everything on my list, I definitely touched. I didn't just beat any of them except for two or three.
Show me on the Steam Bear where you were touched.
No, but here's the thing. Did I go full casual? I would say the butt end of this year, yes, I did. I do apologize. But when it comes to beating 12 games this year, I'm going to put a more realistic New Year's resolution this time and stick around. Let's see what the fuck happens or what my punishment will be since I did not beat the 12 games this year.
So had you put 12 games up like just like regular games. I would be like, everybody would be like, sweet, that's a great list. But you put like year taking games.
Yeah.
Like 10 year taking games and 2 half year taking games.
Yeah, that's
so we
true.
Knew right off the bat. It was impossible. Unless you were going to quit all jobs.
Which I'm still trying to do, by the way. I know. Anyways, I did not beat the games, and I can't look up at the camera. I am super ashamed. I'm going to be 100% transparent about this and let you know that I failed you, and I took a hiatus, but you know what? You guys love me enough to, you know, be there for when I have my comeback.
You got out in front of it, and you took care of that. See? Right. Nobody can be mad. Moving on.
All right. Shadow Master asks, what do you guys think of the official Ready Player One trailer?
So I saw the teaser, and then I saw the article about the official and about how many Easter eggs are in one trailer. It's like 45 Easter eggs in one trailer. Battletoads are in there. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are in there. Lara Croft is in there. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. That doesn't make a good movie, but the book is great. Bobby, do you know anything about the director?
Who's the director?
I don't know.
No,
you're usually the director guy.
Is it Zemeckis? I want to say it was, let's see, director of
Red. Oh God, we missed the Discord. This is our only.
Oh, Spielberg, get the fuck out of here.
No, bro. Not director. He's
he might be the director of this. That sounds right, because I remember, like, I know he was involved in some way with this, but yeah, I think
before
he is.
Before we all get super excited, he did drop the ball on AI, correct? That was him, right? I think it was him.
They can't all be winners.
No. I know. I'm just saying that was his last attempt was AI, so. And he has to be 90 now. I hope it's good. I'm just saying, I'm being devil's advocate over here.
I think it will be good. My only concern is that I really didn't enjoy the Ender's Game movie. Like, I don't know what it was. I loved the book, saw the movie, and I just thought it was just kind of like, I don't know, flat. But
why are you saying that? The same director?
Because these two books, movies, whatever you want to call them, just seem so similar to me. Like, they're both kind of young adult, I don't know. There just seems
young
to be
adult
a similarity.
Okay.
Science fiction.
Sci-fi.
Compared
I don't know why I'm comparing the two of those, but
I think it sucks,
the same
by the way.
Vibe for it. But my other concern is that people are just going to be overdone on the callbacks and like the, oh, it's got Tracer and oh, it's got Battletoads. Oh, it's got this 80s thing. It's like, man, I love 80s nostalgia too, but it's just like, if it's just that, like if it relies too heavily on, hey, remember this, you know, if it's a member berries thing.
Who's the guy?
Well, here's Bobby. The thing.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
really quick. If Steven Spielberg can pull off what is it? Disney?
Steven Spielberg?
Spielberg. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure, just said Spielberg. And yes. I think that might have been a Freudian slip.
My bad. Anyways, you know what I meant. Anyways, if he does what Disney did with Wreck-It Ralph, I think then he can execute it. Because Wreck-It Ralph, if you're thinking of anything that's just gamer vomit.
Wreck-It Ralph?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, you say it weird.
I couldn't pronounce my R's when I was a little girl.
Okay.
Okay, Wreck-It
Ralph. Ralph?
Yeah, there's a roll in there, right?
Ralph. I can't roll my R's. Don't even come at me with
because
that.
Because we said about it, yeah, huh? You're changing it now that we said. But like the recording will show, you said Wreck-It Wolf.
Both.
Yes. I don't know.
Wasn't Rolf the Muppet?
All right, let's keep moving.
No, his name was Ralph. Yeah. Either way, I'm seeing this movie. Like, that's going to happen.
Of course. Can
you finish your point, please?
No, if it's anything like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's tastefully done.
Yeah.
And I would.
That was.
Like Bobby, mm-hmm. I'm going to watch it regardless. And yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Most likely I'm going to enjoy it.
I think it was just a. Yeah, yeah. Did I ever tell you about my experience with Wreck-It Ralph?
Ooh, tell me.
What happened?
I tried 2 or 3 times to see this movie in the theater, and every single time my plan was foiled. Like the first time there was a fire alarm in the theater, like 15 minutes into the movie. The second time it was supposed to be in 3D. It wasn't in 3D. I go out to complain. They're like, oh, we're sorry. Well, you know, you can go back in there. watch the movie. We'll give you some free tickets. And then by the time this happened, you know, I've already missed like 15 minutes of the movie. So I was like, fuck it. And then I don't know what happened the third time, but basically I could not see this movie for the life of me. I had seen the first 15 minutes of this movie like two or three times before I actually finally sat down and watched it.
And then you become so frustrated. You're like, why bother at this point?
Yeah. Then I was kind of upset about it, but I did finally, you know, like a year later, I sat down and I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this movie now. And I did it and it was good. And I think that was
really
a movie.
It was really good. Yeah.
Regardless. I mean, even if it didn't have all those things in it, it was still a great movie, but yeah, I agree. That one was handled very well. Pixels on the other hand, not so much.
I don't think it, oh, Pixels, Adam Sandler.
Yeah. I see it.
I like that you forgot about it though. I think I wish I was there. I wish I could have forgot about it.
No, I didn't see Pixels because I kind of had an idea that it was going to be horrible, but, and you know, steered clear of that mess. But anyways, yeah, I know how you feel about that whole movie, like trying to see the movie and it not working out. That happened to me that happens to me every single time I try to go Mana Barbecue in San Diego. Mana Barbecue. Barbecue. Obviously, I'm forgetting how to pronounce my words, but
is this a restaurant?
It's a Korean barbecue place.
Oh, okay.
And anytime I've had
Mana.
Mana, yeah.
Barbecue. I thought you were talking about a movie.
Like health and mana?
What's Mana Barbecue?
No. It's like me whenever I have an appetite. Whenever I have an appetite and try to show up, they're still open, but they've already run a supposed last call for seating.
See, here's my theory on that, though.
And it's happened to me three times.
Whenever you try to do something and something just works out to, or something doesn't work out and you can't do it, I think that's like a Final Destination universe thing going on there, where like if you were to actually go eat at Mana Barbecue, like the world would probably end. Like if I saw Wreck-It Ralph in the theater, like that would trigger something. Yeah. Like maybe somebody came back from the future and was like foiling all my plans because they knew that was like the one event that like triggered Skynet. I don't know.
I like it.
Very elaborate thinking. But
yeah. Next question. Coming from Atrocious, which game would you take to a desert island?
By the way, Isaac, there's no end to that game, so I would just keep playing it.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Well, do you have internet? Will you have internet?
If you had internet, maybe Skyrim. World of Warcraft.
WoW. Annoying. I would bring WoW if I was trapped on a desert island with internet.
Yeah, but no way.
We need to get away from it.
You would just tell a guildmate to come rescue you.
Yeah, the desert island analogy doesn't really work with video games. I think the better question
for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but then like, is it a multiplayer one? Do you have internet? Like, you're on a desert island. You like fucking making a power generator out of coconuts, like a professor.
Your final game.
No, here's a better question. I hate to rewrite your question, Atrocious, but here's a better question.
Yeah, Atrocious, you're a piece of shit, and now we're gonna make it better.
I know who I'm not taking to my desert island.
Now, here's the better question. What game, when you retire, what game do you see yourself playing the most? Like, you retired, you got all the time in the world, there's nothing to do, you know?
That's not good, because, like, I'm going to retire 10 years from now. You're going to retire 40 years from now, you know? That's well, anyway. All right, let's go with that. See how it...
My answer would probably still be WoW, because that's the only game I can think of that it's going to offer a different
experience.
That's
all I plan on doing when I retire, is playing WoW all
day. And who knows if WoW will still have expansions coming out when I'm retiring.
Oh, yeah.
She put her hands out like jazz hands. You guys don't have the video. But she was like, da-da-da-da-da-da. WoW.
Exactly.
I think Blizzard is banking on the fact that people who played World of Warcraft, like you, like me, who played it a lot when it came out or during whatever period, you know,
06, 07. Or maybe it'll be like virtual reality, like, WoW,
those
by the time
people,
it's released.
Yeah, like it's going to get better, but those people are going to start retiring at some age. You know how like, you know, politicians appeal to baby boomers because they're the largest demographic. Like Blizzard is going to appeal to people who are retiring at a certain point, and they're going to like capitalize on the fact that everybody has all this free time and now they can play WoW and spend all their time and money on that. So I don't know. I'm on to you, Blizzard. I know your end game.
Soon you're going to start asking for my social security and et cetera. Yep. Just kidding.
Before we do the show wrap up, Bobby and I want to talk about Star Wars. Chi, Would it be okay if we spoil things for you?
No, I haven't seen Star Wars
yet.
So
we shouldn't do this.
Right? Let's wait for next episode.
Well, we can
or
talk when, spoiler
or
free.
Give,
no,
give
I don't
even the
do
listeners
that.
An ample amount of time to go out and watch the
yeah.
movie.
Because we watch it kind of early, right, Bobby?
I think I would be upset, and a lot of our listeners would be upset.
I felt okay. This is the latest I've ever waited to watch a Star Wars movie. I saw it on Sunday. It came out Friday. Like, I don't know.
3 days?
Yeah.
At least tell me this. Was it worth watching release day / weekend?
I always think it is because you're part of the experience. You're in there with all the people dressed up.
I was wearing
a fucking
Star Wars shirt.
Yeah.
Is it better than the first release?
The first, The Force Awakens?
Yes, that one.
I like 7 better.
Really? So it's not better than...
I'm just going to say that. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Bobby doesn't agree.
Yeah, I like
well,
this
I got to check out this Rose character. So yeah. Maybe I'll go as cosplay. I'll just like curl my hair out.
Gee, you're much better looking than the Rose character.
Well, yeah, I know. But
at least in the movie.
Dude, I'm telling well, in the movie, yeah. Look at her like...
So you're advocating that the outside of the character, she's way better looking than...
They gave her a weird haircut.
Okay.
It looks like Wendy's. You know,
without minus the braids.
Yeah, minus the braids, exactly.
Yeah. From right. here till there, speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, Star Wars, Jedi, Sith, titties. Bye.